if you remember the first time that you saw a helium balloon. I don't know if you remember that moment of wonder when you're a child, or I think I was in elementary school, and they fill a balloon. You know, all the balloons I had at home just dropped to the ground. You know what I mean? They didn't go anywhere. But I saw this helium balloon, and if you've ever been part of one of those things where you let a balloon go and it goes off in the sky and you watch it for thousands of feet in the air, you realize, even though you can't see it, it's invisible, there's some kind of force at work that you didn't understand before that. Or if you've ever seen one of those little twisters out in your yard, you know, where a little wind will combine and turn around and pull some leaves up in it, and you just think, whoa, that's kind of weird, because like a balloon or a little twister, things don't fly. Or if the first time you ever saw a magnet, you know, and it would draw something metal to itself, and if you didn't know what a magnet was, you look at that and you say, how did that happen? And the only way you can make sense out of that is you reason, well, there must be some force at work that I can't see and I don't understand. I've been to a lot of funerals, and I've never gone to a funeral and have someone sit up in the casket and get out. I've never seen that. Anybody? I confess, I've never seen that. Never seen you walk out of the casket and, you know, begin to shake hands. Thanks for coming. You know, glad you're here. You know, hope this is a good service. And then kind of walk out the back door. But if I did, I would have to imagine I would be sitting there saying, wait a minute, there's something going on in this room that I don't understand. Well, here's what's amazing. 2,000 years ago, that's exactly what happened. The angel came and rolled the stone away, and Jesus sat up and stood up to his feet and walked out of the tomb, walked out of the grave where he was formerly dead. He walked out alive. Now, you've got a reason from an event like that. There must have been some kind of something at work that we don't understand or we can't see with our eyes other than the effect of it. And so maybe you've ever thought about this before. You go, man, that's great for Jesus. I hope when I die that happens to me. That's great for Jesus, but what good does it do any of the rest of us? Well, this morning on Easter, I want to give you four things that I think it does for the rest of us. And we're going to read Romans 8:11. That says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, so this force that's at work that you can't see and you might not understand, raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the spirit that lives in you. So there are huge implications of Jesus' resurrection. It wasn't just good for him, it's good for you. And so let me give you four reasons it's good for you. Number one, because Jesus lives, you can be free from the wounds of a broken family. Now, I'm not gonna quote any statistics today. I don't think I even have to. We're past all that. The fact is, more and more people are raising up and being raised in broken, difficult families, just families that don't work right. Divorce, neglect, sometimes narcissistic parents, abuse, emotional trauma, dysfunctions of all types. Many people grow up suffering the greatest pains of their life in their own home. And that is a real challenge. And sometimes years and years go by, but the memories don't fade and the scars don't go away. And sometimes you see this generation after generation after generation, the same kind of brokenness, the same kind of dysfunction. And I know it's a little sensitive to talk about something like that on a holiday weekend. You know, after all, here in a little while, you might have to go search for Easter eggs with some of these people. You know what I mean? So I know it might be a little sensitive, but here's the thing. Here's why I bring it up. In a lot of years of being a pastor, I've met way too many people who suffer because of this, who just can't move past some of the things that happened in their life. And I understand this. I grew up in deep brokenness. My parents ultimately divorced, and there was, you know, too long of a story to tell today on all kinds of brokenness that had gone on for generations, and I had to walk through that. And in a lot of families, there's shame and anger and rejection and manipulation. And here's what I've learned about all of that, though. Nobody gets past it on accident. Nobody, I've never met anybody who was raised in deep brokenness and says, you know, and one day it just went away. That's not how it happens. The only way you and I ever move past it is we move past it by being intentional about it, or otherwise we just repeat these patterns, and sometimes we repeat opposite dysfunctional patterns trying to fix those patterns. But none of us just move past this. But here's what I want you to know today. On Easter Sunday morning, I want you to know that Jesus is saying to you, don't give up. If God could bring Jesus back from the dead, then he can help you. There's a power at work that we might not understand, but that same power, if it is alive in you, he can help you through these wounds. It takes a step of faith. Your spiritual life has to become an absolute priority, and you might need to reach out and let people who pray for inner healing pray for you, or maybe go see a Christian counselor. I've done both of those. And it reminds me of a guy I heard about who went to see, he was reaching out for psychiatric help. How many of you hate automated phone, you know, you call, press one, press, you hate that? I'm telling you, it's a personal thing for me. I literally hate it. But it reminds me of a guy that reached out for help and he called this helpline and it said, if you're obsessive compulsive, press one repeatedly. If you're codependent, please ask someone else to press two. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you're paranoid, we know who you are, we know where you are, and we're coming to see you. If you're schizophrenic, listen carefully, and a little voice will tell you what to do. If you're manic depressant, it doesn't matter what number you press, nobody's going to help you. None of that's very much help. But I want to remind you on Easter that the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave, the Bible says in Romans 8:11, is available to you. Number two, because Jesus lives, you can be free from the pain of loss. Maybe this is a different kind of Easter for you. For some of us, it certainly is. Maybe you've lost a long-term job. Maybe you've lost a marriage in the last year or so. Maybe you've suffered some other kind of disappointment. Maybe you've lost part of your health. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Man, I understand this feeling. 6 months ago, my wife died, and it was like we'd been married for 30 years, and all of my adult life, she and I were together, and it was like somebody dropped a nuclear bomb of pain in my soul. I've never known pain like that in my life. And a couple months ago, I was driving here to the church building, and I passed the nursing home where she lived the last little bit of her life out. And just out of habit, I just turned into the parking lot and I rolled up to the front and it grabbed me, and I sat there and I stared at the steering wheel and I said, What are you doing here? Why did you turn in here? She's not here. And it just grabbed me. And last week my son called me and he said, hey Dad, I don't know if you've been experiencing this lately, but it seems like kind of my semester in school slowed down a little bit, and I just been thinking about Mom a lot, and I miss her. And I said, yeah, I have been thinking about that, and I've been feeling it, and I miss her too. And look, loss is not something that you just sort of shake off. It doesn't just go away. It doesn't just evaporate. It doesn't just leave. There's no shortcut to grief. You're not going to find the magic pill. But nobody's going to pray for you today and all your grief is going to go away. That's not how it works. But here's what I do want to ask you, those of you who've experienced loss, what is your plan? Because if you don't do anything, you won't get better. Time does not heal. If time healed, there'd be no bitter old people. Right? Because time heals. but it doesn't heal. So what is your plan? Determination won't do it. Avoiding it won't do it. Medicating it won't do it. But I want you to know on Easter Sunday morning that there's a God who sees what you've been through, and he cares more than you know. And resurrection gives us great hope, and hope is the only way I know to overcome grief. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says it like this: "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope." So there's a way to grieve with hope, and there's a way to grieve without hope. Verse 14, "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." So here's the thing. For those of you who know Jesus, for those of us who know Jesus, we know the end of this life isn't the end, it's the beginning. That's when real life is going to start. And although we grieve with hope because we know the best is yet to come. And it doesn't mean that we don't hurt. It doesn't mean that we don't grieve. I hurt. I feel pain deeply. I grieve. I continue to grieve on some level. But here's the thing. When you have hope and you know that this life is not all there is to it, then let me tell you what happens. It takes a lot of pressure off because now you're no longer responsible for fixing it. You're no longer responsible for figuring it all out. You don't have to have every question answered in order to move forward in life. When you have hope, look, here's the thing about loss. Loss will change you, but it doesn't have to ruin your life. It will absolutely change you. When you go through a deep loss, you will never be the same person that you were before you had the loss. But it does not have to ruin your life. So hear it again this Easter Sunday morning. The same power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to you to walk with you through the process and to give you hope. Number three, because Jesus lives, you can be free from destructive habits. Look, for more reasons than any of us understand, there are people watching and here in person who have destructive habits going on in your life. And some of the people in your life might know about it, and some of these habits might be a complete secret. Maybe there's an addiction in your life to pornography and it's ruining your marriage. Maybe you've just gotten a habit into medicating your ups and downs with alcohol or food or prescription medication or illegal drugs or shopping or your phone. Maybe if you're away from your phone for too long, your anxiety starts to go up and you're just on there bouncing around from app to app to app to app, trying to release a little more dopamine, and it has become a controlling part of your life. Addictions are powerful. And there comes a time in that engagement where we're no longer in control. That addiction is in control. And we don't do it when we want to do it. We do it when it tells us to do it. And we can't go too long without that next, whatever it is, that next shot of something. But I want you to know something today. The same power that brought Jesus back from the dead, the same power that broke death's hold over Jesus can break the hold of whatever's got a hold on you. And it can set you free. Resurrection power can help you walk out. Now listen to this, even if it's a process, because sometimes it's a process, and the power of Jesus Christ that brought him back from the dead can bring you back to life and break the hold of that thing off your life, and it might be a step at a time, but his power will walk with you through it. You don't have to do it alone. Here's the last one. Because Jesus lives, you can be free from the ordinary. You can be free from the ordinary. Now, maybe you've been listening or watching, and you say, you know, so far you're not talking to me. No major tragedies, no major losses, no major addictions. We're just kind of, you know, average people, average life. And it doesn't take too long in life before most of us figure out we're never going to find a cure to cancer, we're never going to end world hunger, or we're never going to have, you know, I don't know, a million followers on Instagram. And when that happens, the ordinary sets in on us. And then we just try to, you know, keep our head down, raise our kids, and pay our taxes. But here's the thing. But there's this little ache. There's this little longing inside of us to do something important, to make a difference, to not just be, you know, ordinary. God put that ache, he put that longing inside of each one of our hearts. And after Jesus' resurrection, he stood in front of an ordinary group of people. And he gave them the message of Jesus to take to the whole world. And he said to those ordinary people, soon, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to fill you. And you are going to take this message to the whole world. And you know what's crazy? These are like fishermen and a tax collector. These are ordinary, everyday people kicking rocks with their shoes, wondering, you know, what is the purpose of my life? And Jesus looked at those very ordinary, many of them uneducated, untrained. They didn't come from royalty or they weren't famous or anything like that. And he said, soon the power of the Holy Spirit's going to fill you and you're going to take this message to the whole world. And do you know the reason that you and I are gathered in a church today is because of them? They took that message all over the world and it spread to now billions of people and there are churches all over the world. And today we stand with billions of people celebrating the resurrection of Jesus because of those ordinary people. Because the same power that brought Jesus back from the dead can raise your life up in a life of great purpose. Romans 6, 10 and 11 says this, when he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. I have a friend who was a pastor for many years. He's retired now, but I used to love when he would tell a story. I'd say, tell me about how, you know, like you became a Christian and you felt called to ministry. And I love to hear the story. He said, yeah, he was at a church in Biloxi, Mississippi. He was raised there. And he said one of the most influential people in his life was a grandmother. There was this grandmother, I don't know her name, I don't know much about her, but she taught this middle school Sunday school class for years. I mean, for a few decades. And he said, do you know, out of that middle school Sunday school class came 43 ordained pastors from a grandmother whose name we'll never know, who probably thought she was just an ordinary person. But the same power that brought Jesus back from the dead lived in her. When I was a youth pastor, there was one of our parents, one of our teenagers who was who ran a daycare in her home. Like, I can't imagine a worse job for me than that right there. A daycare in her home. And she would get up at 5 a.m. every morning, and so as the sun would come up, so she'd receive these children as their parents dropped them off. And she did this for years and years. And she had a heart for teenagers. She said, I really want to help, but I mean, I'm just a mom. I'm just a wife. I'm just run a little daycare in my house. I don't have any, you know, training or background or, but she said, I want to help. I have a heart for teenagers. I said, all right, come on and we'll figure it out. We found her spot. And we put her working with our newer teenagers that had come in. Over the next 5 years, she personally prayed with over 400 teenagers to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that amazing? Is she just an ordinary lady who ran a daycare? When I was in English class in 10th grade, a bunch of my friends thought it'd be fun to try to guess what people are going to be when they graduate high school, like what career they're going to do. And then the game, you know, as you might imagine in high school, the game turned dark and they decided it was more fun to guess what people would never be. And one of my friends looked at me and said, you know what? I bet he could be a pastor. Yeah. And the whole class laughed. Like it was, that's so dumb. That could never happen. And here I am. Because the same power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to you and to me today. And who knows? Maybe it won't be long people will be saying about you, man, I've known that guy for years. He shouldn't have made it. And here he is. Man, I knew that lady. I never thought their marriage was going to make it. But look at her now. They made it. Man, these people, look, their childhood was so broken. How can they have a normal family? How can they have a healthy family today? But they do. This person's, look, they had experienced so much trauma and loss and addiction. Man, how are they even functioning? How are they even making it now? But they do. Maybe one day somebody will look at you and say, this is just such an average person. How can they be making the difference that they make? But they do, because Jesus' resurrection makes things happen that should not happen. Because there's a force at work that maybe we can't see and we don't understand, but it's present. So I want to ask you this morning a couple of questions, and I just want to ask you, like, where you sit. If you just close your eyes, just close your eyes. And I want to ask you a couple of questions. You know, most Americans believe in God, but believing in God doesn't make much difference. What does make a difference is when you have a relationship with Jesus. So this morning, I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you have a home church. I'm not asking how you were raised. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm just gonna ask one question. Do you have a real relationship with Jesus? That's the only question I want to ask you. Do you have a real relationship with Jesus? And I think there's probably two kinds of people here. One who say, I'm not really sure. And maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus at all. I want to invite you today, and I believe Jesus is inviting you today, to start a real relationship with him. And the other kind of person I think that's here is the one who says, you know what? I have had some background, some Christian background, some relationship, something. But if I'm being honest, Jesus is not the center of my life. Maybe your relationship with God has grown cold and distant, and you just happen to show up here this Easter. Maybe somebody invited you and you just happen to be here, and you say, you know what? I don't really know where I stand, but today I'd like to renew. I think Jesus is inviting you to renew your relationship with him. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to invite you to pray right where you sit, and I want everybody just to be still for a moment. This is a very important moment because people are making decisions. People are making choices. And I just want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. If you want, wherever you come from, whether you had a relationship or you never did, but today you say, I want to start a real relationship with Jesus. I'm just going to ask us all to pray this prayer together. And you pray it, and you believe it in your heart. And I'm telling you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will enter into your life and will make more of a difference than you can even expect today. Would you pray this with me? Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. Put me in right relationship with God the Father. I pray you'd give me the strength to live for you. With every eye closed, nobody looking around, I just want to ask the simple question. If you prayed that prayer, would you just lift your hand and let me see it? If you prayed that prayer and said, today I started a real relationship with Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just keep it up for a minute. Yeah. Yeah, just lift it up so I can see it. Just lift it up. Thank you. Yeah, I see your hand. Thank you so much. Yeah. Looking in the balcony, anybody else? If you're online, you could just give us a little wave or something and let us know that you prayed that prayer. Here's what I want to ask you to do. If you'll now, you can open your eyes, and if you'll now go back to that code I gave you, a QR code. Everybody here, everybody online, if you'll open that link to Easter Hope, and there's a simple way you can respond now. One is, as I said, one of the gifts our church gives our community is prayer. So if you need prayer today, we want to pray for you. Or if you know someone who needs prayer, you put their name there. If you made a decision this morning to say, I want to start or renew a relationship with Jesus, you can see on the screen, this is what the form looks like. Scan the code, go to Easter Hope. Give us the decision that you made, or give us the name of the person you want us to pray for. And I'm telling you, we got folks here that are going to be praying hard this week. As we sing this last song, would you just take a minute and